Yeah, 2 years ago, when we were planning for this conference, we were struggling with coming up with a title for this conference, and we decided to add the word intrinsic, because it is innately part of every human person, both feminine and masculine, is innately part of us. And yet that the feminine aspect has been suppressed, not just by history, but even interpretation, even in theology, even in many aspects it has been. And therefore, it is a reminder to everyone that there is in each one of us that feminine dimension that we need to discover, and in coming up with a theology, there has to be the balancing that both feminine and masculine have to be present. And so we have to highlight the feminine aspect, because in all of theology and even other sectors, that is not highlighted. And so we want to bring out the gift, really, of the feminine dimension. And so that's why we entitled it Intrinsic. Okay.
And which is your reflection as Asian theologian on this theme?
Well, I see a lot of subjugation, oppression of women in my part of the world, and lack of self-knowledge, lack of self-confidence in themselves. Though you can see that potentially, and there is a lot of gift in them, the openness to serve, the desire to do a lot of things, and yet, because society doesn't, and the church even doesn't encourage them, they remain just, you know, on the sub-level. Actually when I started to use the stories of the women in the Bible, I started actually by working with women in the urban poor area. And these are the women who suffer a lot of violence from their husbands, from the men, and so forth and so on. So I said to myself, maybe if I will use stories of women, because stories, you know, you don't have to, it's easier to remember the stories. And I teach them how to find parallelism. It's okay, it might be a story of ancient times, but can you find a parallel in your experience of today? And so it is my way of helping them see the parallelism, but also I highlight the positive aspect of the lives by the rereading. Of course, the Bible itself doesn't say that, but I reread it. And by help teaching them to reread, they begin to gain more confidence in themselves. And so ministerially, there was a great advantage in doing that, because they remember the story. They remember their own story. So there's two stories, the stories of the women. And so I noticed that that's not just in the Philippines, but I work a lot, like I teach at the Institute for Consecrated Life in Asia. So many women religious from China, from Vietnam, from Myanmar, from Indonesia, East Timor, these are my students. And a lot of times they think low of themselves. They see their reality as simply just, being an assistant, being a service is more servility, that kind of thing. And it bothered me, and I said, where is the prophetic dimension of religious life here? If you subject yourself to the power structure that is oppressive. And therefore, it became like when I teach theology of consecrated life, I teach other dimensions like spirituality and all that. I try to help them, you know, be strengthened in that area, so that at least when they go back to their mission, to their countries, they have, you know, they can stand tall and say, no, I have something to offer to the church. I'm just not, you know, a servant here or a slave even.
Thank you very much. I'm reading your biography. You have a lot of experience. You wrote a lot of books. So, I mean, you are a big resource for religious life, not only in Asia. So how we can help to empower religious women or women in Asia?
For me, very important that we have an integrated kind of formation. It's just not the way formation was done in the past, where they were follow rules and regulations. But for them, first of all, the human formation is very much important, because if there are the three hierarchy of calls, the call to be a human person is the foundation, and that's the incarnation of Jesus Christ, strengthens that first call to be a human person. And it is through our humanity and the strengthening of our human call that, you know, we can live, as Christians, the second call, the call to be a person of faith as a Christian, that we can live it not just in a devotional way, but coming really from our source, coming from our depth as a person. And only then can we really appreciate and choose the lifestyle of consecrated life based on our baptismal call, which is the call that belongs to the second hierarchy of the call to be a person of faith and our faith in Jesus Christ as a Christian. But the problem with formation before is that it was an inverted triangle. The emphasis was how to be and to act like a religious, and not knowing themselves. And that's actually what I have noticed in many of the Asian religious, that for them to be a religious, it was based so much on the external things and all that, wearing the habit, obeying the rules and regulations, all of that. I said, that's not where. Well, that's not the call is all about. It's the call is to live as Jesus lived, to love as Jesus loved. And you cannot do that unless you know who you are as a human person. And you can identify with who Jesus is in his humanity and in his call to be a person of faith.
Thank you very much.
I hope that's helpful. So you work with... is that...